Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Welcome back to the programme. Food in Irish hospitals, is it of a high standard? How are patients, especially those who can't fend for themselves, treated during mealtimes? Well, on Friday on this programme, we heard about the HICWA report into Áras Attracta, residential unit in Mayo for adults with intellectual disabilities, how they were repeatedly fed without being allowed to swallow. There was nothing to drink during the meal and some patients were let go 15 hours without food. Now the Irish Independent, through a Freedom of Information request, has uncovered what they call a litany of complaints against some of the biggest hospitals here. And they paint a picture of poor food quality, and there was one instance where an elderly woman who had suffered a stroke was left to feed herself one-handed. Other complaints included meals left out of reach of infirm patients, an 88-year-old who was left unfed for 14 hours, and another man who had to buy his dinner in the hospital shop after he complained that his meal of beans and sausages was inedible. With me in studio now is Gay Godkin, a public health nutritionist. Gay, thanks very much indeed for coming in. It makes for very sad reading, but I presume you're not surprised by any of what you've read.
No, I'm not surprised at all, because unfortunately in Ireland we have a disease-based, illness-based model of healthcare. So we actually don't have a health policy. And food is not valued at all in terms of its medicinal value. You know, you go into hospital, in actual fact, 8 out of 10 Irish people who end up in hospital do so due to a diet or lifestyle related condition. And our former Minister for Illness, James Riley, would have given those figures to the World Health Organization. So that's well documented that we have a very, very serious issue with healthcare in Ireland.
What types of food are normally given to patients in hospital?
Well, it's funny that I'm here talking about it today because I'm just post-surgery myself and I just had a discectomy done. It depends on the hospital. I was in the sports surgery clinic in Santry and it was like a 5-star hotel. However, if you're in the public hospital, you're given typically you're given chips, you are given, there's no fruit and there's no real proper vegetables. A lot of the food is prepared the night before, frozen, or it's prepared, you can smell the cabbage cooking at 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, for something that's going to be served at 12 o'clock. Nutritionally, it's very, very poor. And all of this is around budgets, mm-hmm. again, because it's not valued. I mean, you're not going to get out of your hospital bed and walk and get well unless you have the fuel in there. Now, most people post-surgery, and again, I can speak for myself on this as well, post-surgery, it is so important that you get the right nutrients in there. If you've had a surgical procedure done, your body is going through a shock post-anaesthetic. So for you to recover rapidly, you need to refuel the body and rehydrate it properly. And you're going to get out of that bed quicker, less nursing staff, less care, and get home. However, the real issue in Ireland is our ageing population. Now, we have more than 650,000 people over the age of 60 in Ireland, and that is increasing. And unfortunately, as you age, you tend to get more diseases and ailments and, as they used to say, complaints. And again, this is down to the fact that there's no national nutrition plan for how we need to feed those people so that they don't end up in hospital.
And from what you're saying, I mean, having a nutrition plan, it should be up there as a central part of anyone's recovery process in hospital.
Fundamentally.
But how are hospitals expected to do this, given that we read €9 million has been slashed from food service budgets in over 2 years? They're catering for hundreds and hundreds of patients. How are they meant to achieve that?
Yes, it is a I feel for anybody who's working in that area and trying to organise it. It's tremendously, tremendously difficult. It needs funding. It needs resources. This has to come back to the Department of Health and looking at, you know, why are these people in hospital for the first place? You have the elderly who are in there and they have a thing called muscle wastage, which is an illness called sarcopenia. And if they don't get food and their muscles are not repaired, they're going to break more hips, break more bones and end up back in the hospital. So this needs to be flagged. Well, I mean, it needs to be flagged over the last number of years. But again, unfortunately, when you have a GP running a health service, they are bringing to that health service their own ideas around what health is, which to them is treating complaints and medicine and pills, etc. Now, I'm a public health nutritionist myself. And believe it or not, I don't work in the HSE because there is no grade in the HSE for a public health nutritionist. There's no such job. So how do you work in a hospital and solve this? You need to get people in there who know what they're talking about.
So they don't employ nutritionists, is that what you're saying?
No, they don't. They have dietitians and that's it. But there's nobody in there with public health nutrition working on these policies.
And it's a question of dignity as well, isn't it? How the people are given their food. I've read some examples there of how more elderly people are left to fend for themselves when they're clearly not capable of doing it.
Yes, and they're not. A lot of them are not interested. A lot of them are not hydrated. A lot of them are quite sleepy. You know, they have issues around swallowing. They have dental issues. They have issues cutting meat and things like that. They're depressed. So what they do need is more healthcare assistance there with them. It can take up to an hour to feed an elderly person. But again, if they're giving them nice, gloopy, kind of runny food, what we need for them is a completely different plan than you need for a six-year-old child. You know, so this really needs addressing if they ever want to deal with our burgeoning health costs.
But they're not going to. They don't have the resources. They don't have the staff to sit and feed someone for an hour.
Yes, I fully agree. And that is the big issue. So again, that comes back to the Department of Health to really take a long look at this. You see, the whole issue here is that it is the disease-based, illness-based policy. You know, what we hear an awful lot of rhetoric around is medical cards for the over 60s or medical cards for the over 70s, I should say. That's not going to solve anything until we learn these people are fed properly to keep them out of hospitals. So we need a preventative healthcare approach.
So they're treating the symptoms rather than prevention in the first
absolutely,
place.
Absolutely. I mean, protein malnourishment is a very, very big issue in the elderly. You know, even looking at things like dementia, all of those illnesses are all connected to your diet.
And in the UK on the NHS, they had a major campaign and many, many years ago, Gerry Robinson introduced a programme of proper hospital food. Now, I'm unclear as to how that is working now, but would you advocate something similar here in this country?
Well, I mean, it's an absolute must. And this is where we start. When we know that nutrition from preconceptual healthcare all the way from the cradle to the grave has a fundamental impact. Having said that, nutritional science in humans is quite new. GPs are not trained. Consultants are not trained. It's not part of their remit. And they have enough to do. In fairness to them, they have enough to do. So it is just about getting the people looking. I mean, it just needs addressing the whole area.
Thank you very much indeed for coming in. That's Gay Govkin there, a public health nutritionist.